Can I take you back a little bit, because we are in Philadelphia, and take you a little bit to your time here? I heard an interview you did for the BBC with Norman Lebrecht a couple of years ago, and you said that your time at the AVA was not when you really blossomed. It was not the most beneficial time in your life, that you probably started to blossom when you went to Houston. Is that right?
Well, I won't say it wasn't a beneficial time. In retrospect, it was probably one of the most beneficial periods, because I was not blossoming in Philadelphia. It was not my time yet. And I had a lot of technical work that I was still, I still needed to address. And also, I will say too, personally, I had to figure out a little bit more about who I was and why I really wanted to sing. And all of those things came to the forefront at AVA, because it wasn't an easy time for me. I wasn't sort of a star singer there. And it was a point where, because people weren't designating me a star and it wasn't clear that I would go on and have a career, I had to go deep inside myself and say, do I still want to stay with this? Do I still think I have something inside of me? And that's why, in essence, it was probably the most beneficial time in terms of me really going deep inside and saying, yes, I want to stick with this.
Why did you want to stick with it?
I had to.
Ah, yes, but that's like, you know, you hear this a lot about writers. You know, the really successful writers are the ones who need to do it every day. And to an extent, it may be true in all art forms that there are those who are not, you know, they are singers. That's not what they do. That's what they are. But there are a lot of people who aren't any good at it. I mean, there are people who are singers who are just never going to have a career at it.
Right.
Were you going to stick with it and see how far it would go? Or did you have the confidence that you had something?
Oh, confidence is a big word at that period. I had the suspicion, maybe, or that sort of nagging inner voice. I was not confident yet at all, but I had that nagging thing of like, I know nobody can see this yet, but I think I've got it. I think it's in me. And I gave myself permission to try it as long as I could. And thankfully, success started coming before I gave up. But barely, because even my time in Houston wasn't particularly easy either. I wasn't a designated star in Houston either, but things started coming to me. But at the same time, there in Philadelphia, I was absorbing everything that I could. And I prepare a role like Maria. The work that I observed Christopher Makatsouris doing there at AVA on recitatives and how to really, that so much of the singing came from the text and the color of the text and the emotion of the text, that is still with me today. That made such a huge impact and imprint on me. So even if I wasn't thriving at AVA, the education that I got there today is absolutely part of the reason I'm successful. And I think it's part of the reason I'm the kind of artist that I am, text-driven, character-driven, expression-driven. It's not just about vocalizing.
But that said, and I don't want to blow smoke, but you have a very beautiful instrument. Was it always this thing of beauty? Was it when you were beginning something that was just so lovely to I mean, I know you don't hear yourself the way other people hear you, but take my word for it, you have a very, very beautiful voice.
Thank you. I'll take that.
Was that always the case?
No, it wasn't. I was, I think, first of all, known as being sort of a stage animal, confident on stage, and a good musician. But the voice was not pretty. And I think that's one of the reasons I didn't technically know what I was doing yet. I didn't have freedom of the breath. And so, therefore, the voice was always a little bit under pressure and a little bit harsh. And so there's a reason I wasn't terribly successful in those early years. And it was the vocal technical work that I started doing in Houston that the voice started getting free and I started really finding my voice just from a vocal aspect. And that needed to happen. That absolutely needed to happen. And happily it did. And I continuously work to find more freedom in the voice.
And did you know what had happened, or did people around you tell you there's something different about you now these days, this last 6 months, you sound different? I mean, was there an aha moment?
It was a slow burn for me, because it was a three-year process between 26 and 28. It was 3 years of study with my teacher in Houston where things finally started clicking. The aha, long aha moment for me was when I could start doing the musical things that I heard in my head or that I wanted to do. And all of a sudden, I had the technical ability and control to do that. You know, I could diminuendo a note. I could sing through my passaggio. I could sustain a high note. I was like, oh, my God, I think I'm getting this. And then the outside feedback was work, was contracts. And doing well in competitions finally. And so it wasn't that people were like, oh my God, you have a beautiful voice. Here's a job. I thought, I'll take that. That's confirmation enough for me.
And now going forward, because clearly any artist wants to, you know, get up every day and make better of themselves than they did the previous day. What are the things that are happening to you as a result of your own, you know, growing older, not that you're old, but just living? And how much do you think you're changing because of the volume of work that you're doing these days?
God, that's again, it's a big question. I've always said that the theater and music has been my best teacher in life. I am such a student of the theater because things like living in the moment in particular, if you're not in the moment on the stage, you're completely lost. You have no hope. And I've tried to really take that in my life. And I'm actually feeling that in a big way in this last year with the Drama Queens tour, the recording, which has been a big success in a lot of ways for me. I trust myself.
But do you think then that, I don't know, having your heart broken, having personal loss, I don't know, all the things that happen to a person in a life... I mean, do you take them on board? Clearly they become part of you, but are they private things? Are they personal things that really, you know, they don't, it's none of the audience's business. What, I don't need to use those things to be an artist.
I use everything.
Right.
I don't know that I'm one of those people that says you have to suffer to be a real artist. I have suffered. I've suffered deeply in my life, but I am a real advocate for happiness.
And forgetting going on. Lest we forget the wheelchair incident. You know, when somebody gets up and gets on with it.
There is that. That's absolutely. Life is short. But that suffering and the difficulties in my life absolutely inform who I am as a person. I'm just selfish. I much prefer to be happy, so I really try to cultivate that in my life. But absolutely, the pain that I've gone through in various ways that, you know, it always comes out of nowhere, sort of socks you over the head. Of course, I use that. That informs me as a human being, and therefore it informs me as an artist. But I don't feel the need to cultivate that and stay in that place. I'll go through it. I'll learn from it. I'll use it. I'll use it on the stage. But in my life, I prefer to be on the other side of the equation.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.